Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 302, episode 2 of Dear Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. Thank you, Katie, for that. That was appreciated.
Daily Zeitgeist.
There it is. It needs it. It is Tuesday, August 29th, 2023. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I have an AKA here on my phone, so I'm going to bring it up.
That's a weird one.
Super
meta one.
I know. Stopping at the moon for Mars connection. We need moon law because we got none. We need moon laws because we got none. That is courtesy of Blinky Heck about the space race to control the ice on the South Pole of the moon. And there's nothing saying who's going to own it. It's just going to be somebody's who gets
me
there. They're going to say dibs.
I'm going to make a nice granite out of it.
There you go.
Granite.
I don't know what the fuck that is, but
it's an Italian slushy.
You're so Italian.
Mamma mia.
Well, who is that voice, that thick Italian accent that you're hearing? We're thrilled to be joined by a very special guest co-host, one of the funniest comedy writers doing it. You know her words from the Birds Rights Activist account on Twitter, some more news with Cody Johnson. You know her voice from podcasts like Creature Feature, Secretly Incredibly Fascinating. Please welcome, coming all the way from Italy, the brilliant, the talented Katie Golden!
How does she mean when you're doing podcasts? There is nothing to be said.
Hell yeah. Love it.
The song of the season. Song of the year.
What is that song?
It's the All of the Dream. How does it mean?
Oh, okay.
If there's if
I'm not
when the rhythm
music.
When the rhythm is glad, there is nothing to be sad.
That's right.
Danger and dance, clapping the hands. Jack!
I'm sorry. I'm not up on anything.
Oh my
God. We listen to John Williams music in this household at the current moment. My kids are
I'm going to play this for you after the episode. You have to. It's all the rage over all the internet right now.
And I will play the finale from the end of Rise of Skywalker for you because it's really it's 10 minutes long and it covers everything. Anyways, Katie, it's a full crack reunion because we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the best-selling author of books like John Dies at the End, Zoe Punches the Future in the Dick, If This Book Exists, You're in the Wrong Universe, and the new Zoe is Too Drunk for This Dystopia, which I believe you can pre-order still.
Yes.
He is also one of the hosts of the podcast Big Feats, which, if I'm reading this Paris Review article correctly, is the only Mountain Monsters podcast officially endorsed by Big Feet. He's our former coworker at Cracked, co-creator of the Cracked podcast. Welcome back to the show, Jason Pargin!
Now, is it okay for me to do my fake Italian accent that I do sometimes? I don't know. I realize there are some accents that are inappropriate to keep doing.
I'd be deeply, as a 100% non-Italian person living in Italy, I'd be deeply offended.
Okay, then I won't. Because it's one that's so much fun that I don't know if I'm doing an actual Italian accent or if I'm doing a Hollywood accent of actors who themselves were in no way Italian.
Right.
But just, and did not have a language coach there. It's like, ah, why are you breaking my balls? Mamma mia.
There it is. There it is.
The American concept of Italian accent is immigrants from Naples who came to the U.S. And that's it.
Like, and Chris Pratt's interpretation of Mario.
Yeah.
Those are the two kind of key texts, the cornerstones.
Yeah, he's a national icon in Italy, actually. People don't think that, but like Chris Pratt
it's
is
him
insanely
and the Pope.
Popular.
One and two. All right. Jason, how are you doing? Where are you coming to us from? Undisclosed?
Sure. I'm in the state of Tennessee if you want to try to find me. I'm sure there's one guy on TikTok who can locate anybody just from any photo they take. If you want to show up at my house, I'm sure you can do it, but it's...
Wait, how does he do it? Like, even if you're inside, he can do it?
Well, probably not, but if you're standing, right. Like, just in your yard, he will take the sliver of sky behind you, yeah. And he can identify exactly down to your address, and that's his whole bit.
Yeah, that's crazy and terrifying. Katie is coming to us from Europe.
That's
not
right.
Italy, though, this time.
From Barcelona.
Hey. Well, yeah. Well done on the pronunciation, Katie. Barcelona.
It's Barcelona, yeah.
Now that feels like it should be offensive.
It probably is.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
You know, I'm in for it.
All right. Well, we wanted to get together for this special, you know, Tuesday evergreen one subject episode to talk placebos because they're kind of in the news. Like there, I saw a thing fairly recently where somebody was saying that like the placebo effect has actually been disproven. We did a podcast on placebos a long time ago. So I wanted to dig back in on like, have they been disproven? Was all the stuff that we were talking about back in the day complete bullshit? And yeah, it's also like, it came up a lot in my thinking around the Havana syndrome. Even though it's not like that's not specifically a placebo, but it does have something to do with like how meaning affects the human body. Like,
are you telling me that it was not a Cuban death ray?
It was a sound ray. It was a Cuban sound ray that melted people's brains.
A Cuban brain microwave.
Exactly. They used sound that nobody else could hear.
Right.
Anyways, so we're going to talk about all of that, plenty more. But before we get to any of it, Jason, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I searched this like a week ago, phenylephrine FDA. Phenylephrine, if that word and that chemical is unfamiliar to you, I can almost guarantee you have ingested it at some point because it is the active ingredient in almost every over-the-counter cold and sinus medication. Tylenol, Sinus, Sudafed, PE, anything that's got the letters PE on it. The active ingredient is phenylephrine, and phenylephrine does not do anything. Scientists have known this for a while.
Yeah.
So what happened was when Sudafed had to go behind the counter because it is obviously used for meth, they knew that would deter some customers from buying anything. So they released different versions of their products that could be sold out on the shelf. And those are all placebos. Not intentionally so. I think they may have had data at some point that they relieve symptoms, but it has since been completely debunked. It does not outperform placebo, even if you up the dosage bar 400%.
Wow.
So now you will still, there are people listening right now saying, well, that's ridiculous. I take DayQuil or whatever the other ones are any of the non-drowsy, you know, sinus stuff, and it makes me feel better. But the thing about sinus and cold symptoms is, one, they are variable. For instance, for most people, it's worse in the morning and gets better as the day goes on. So invariably, it will get better. And also, your body naturally heals it. So it's like, well, yeah, I took it for like four straight days. Boom. I was good as new. Right. It's like, yeah, but if
your
you had also...
Your body would have done that anyways.
Yes, if you had taken Tic Tacs for four straight days. And so this is why bringing this up, obviously, the theme of the episode... That's not a placebo in the sense that the stuff in the garbage aisle of the pharmacy where they've got all of the herbs that will increase focus by right. selling you some sort of, you know, root or flower something.
Yes, focus. That's what I go into that section for. increased focus.
Uh-huh. Focus. Below the waist focus.
Right. Just one. Laser-guided focus.
Mm-hmm. That stuff, I feel like, there's an understanding among educated people. It's like, well, that stuff's placebo. It's you take a powder, you put it in your tea, and then it gives you the confidence to get an erection when you're having sex because, and it works. Like people will buy it again and again because it's like, yeah, it reduces their anxiety because it's like, I'm good. I've taken my boner tea. Mm-hmm. And then that actually does help them perform. But I don't think
people realize... I didn't realize confidence was sort of a key part of the erection. Like if you're just not confident enough.
Oh, yeah.
There is a dysfunction.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my God. We could do the whole episode about this. Yes.
And also, yes. Like, tea. Like, I feel like tea, like, you're also just not drinking enough tea, I think. Those are the two main things. Not enough confidence, not enough tea.
Tea gives you boners, I think.
Yeah, tea gives you boners. You just drink it with your hands cupped around the tea and give it a little while wearing a cardigan.
That's why the British were super into it.
Yeah. But yeah, confidence is definitely important.
Yeah. There's crippling performance anxiety to the point that it is like a physical symptom because men feel such pressure to do it right that can actually, you know, as we'll talk about.
So my little scorecards might have been overkill all these years, yeah. Causing problems, I see.
Play by play commentary.
the reviews you left later on whatever website where women leave their
disastrous showing
disastrous
on, yeah
boner Yelp
boner Yelp that has to exist right must
anyway yeah. Back on the sentence I was finishing like 4 minutes ago, most of us know that stuff is placebo. What a lot of us don't realize is how much of the stuff sold in the rest of the pharmacy is placebo. And I do not mean this in a I'm not from like the wellness corner of the internet. It's like, oh, Western medicine is nonsense. I mean, literally, the efficacy of like headache medicine. Headaches go away on their own eventually.
Right. Yeah.
The percentage of time when you took Excedrin and the headache went away because of the Excedrin versus it went away on its own or went away because you drank a cup of coffee and it was just caffeine withdrawal causing your headache. You would be shocked at how many of the pills you've taken from the real medicine part of the pharmacy didn't actually do anything. Likewise, when I used to go to the doctor for flu, cold, sinus symptoms, they would give me an antibiotic. Antibiotics don't do anything against a virus.
Right.
But the doctors know you will be mad if you don't walk out of there with something. That's a placebo. We waste a lot of antibiotics on as a placebo effect. It works.
Yeah.
It will work, but it worked because you were going to get better anyway.
And they're also making the bacteria stronger and more ready for battle.
It's like a bacteria thunderdome.
Yeah.
But yeah, the headache thing is really interesting because I've recently discovered this technique for headaches where it's like you think to yourself, like, where is my headache? And then you ask yourself weird questions like, what color is my headache? What shape is my headache? What flavor is my headache?
Ooh.
And like, you're like really focusing on your headache and you're supposed to like actually answer those questions as silly as they sound. You're supposed to imagine a shape for it. Imagine what color it is. And it actually is fairly effective for me when I have like, not for a really powerful headache, but like a, you know, like a minor headache. And I think it's interesting because like part of it could be like, your body's relaxing more because you're focused on a task that's like not, it's not a stressful thing to try to think about shapes and colors. It's also like making you kind of like think about your head in a weird way. It's very strange. It's super weird that it works, but it does actually work for me.
Yeah. That's super interesting. Yeah, I think like the conclusion I ultimately came to from doing the research on this, and we'll get more into it as we go, but is that like there's just this massive, like placebo is only a tiny portion of a much larger field that connects like what is like meaning and like what either social meaning or like personal meaning and like just language with like what is happening inside our body. And so it's, yeah, I don't know. The study that was like the placebo isn't real. I take the point that there's a reversion to the mean, but I do think that there's also something that is realer than common understanding. When you say placebo, like there's something realer than what happens in at least my mind that happens inside the body during a placebo effect. But we will get into that. But Jason, what is, we also like to ask our guests, what's something you think is overrated?
This is not related to this subject, but I would say just the concept of streaming media. Because, yeah. For example, I decided I was going to go back and watch the show Westworld on HBO because I thought maybe I had judged it too harshly. Maybe there was too much conversation around it and found that it is gone from HBO Max. When they canceled it, they pulled it from the library. So now if you want to watch it, you have to go pay for it either episode by episode or buy a season. To buy all four seasons is $100. It's $25 a season. So to give you an idea of how skewed the streaming business model was, which is obviously this is relevant because of the strikes and the actors and writers all trying to get new deals, and you have all the studios saying, well, our streaming services are losing billions with what money? They're losing billions because they set up a bad, intentionally bad business model that basically rendered physical media all but obsolete and would turn out to be a very bad deal for consumers because they are not going to keep these libraries. Your subscription to HBO doesn't guarantee you any access to anything that they choose to pull next week. And it's, this dispute is about.
There was some series called Willow. I never watched it, but apparently they like released it and then completely obliterated it, like memory holed it after like a month.
Yeah.
It was wiped from the face of the earth. Everyone who had watched it had their memories pulled from their brains.
They were actually put in prison.
And, right.
Yeah. Were made to, forced to undergo a horrifying psychological.
They were lobotomized.
Treatment. Yeah. Willow being the show that was like an expansion of the Willow cinematic universe, right?
Right, exactly. WC.
Which we were all, we were looking for. So what is something you think is underrated, Jason?
I'm going to say just physical media, which, by the way, I don't own any DVDs or Blu-rays. Any. What ones I had, I gave away, but when Netflix had their DVD rental program, they had 100,000 titles they mailed to people. Netflix streaming service has about 6,000.
Yeah.
So they lost 94% of their library for this little incremental gain in convenience of, it's on demand. I can just sit in my chair and turn it on. It's like you gave up 94% of your access for not having to deal with a disc. I find that fascinating, but that business model, the move from like physical media to streaming, has been bad in almost every possible way except for the frequency with which you have to get up out of your chair to change the disc in the machine, which we will now not tolerate doing.
Never.
I will be damned if I'm going to walk all the way across the room and put a thing inside the thing. I want to be able to pull up the show with my remote from my chair. And for that, I will lose everything.
Right. Do you remember the smell of VHS tapes? Because, like, those smell good. I like that smell.
Burning dust is what I always assumed it was. It was
burning like dust
being heated or something.
It smelled good enough that I think it killed some brain cells. But yeah, that was, I do miss sort of just the mechanical sounds too that came with, like, you pop in a VHS and then you hear it working and doing the little like, and then it's like, it's excitement. It's foreplay to the moving, watching experience.
There was also that moment when you started to feed the tape in and the machine would grab it from you and pull it the rest of the way in.
Yeah.
That was always great because the machine's like, no, I've got it from here.
I'm in charge now.
Let me handle this for you.
This is no longer your problem. But it is a little terrifying. It's like, whoa, what the what's going on in there?
So we need like robots whose job is specifically to get a VHS tape and pop it in for us. And that'll be the future.
Yeah. Because we don't like that out of control feeling of having the tape taken from us. Like they've also gotten rid of the ATM machines that like pull your card in also. So maybe we're all just trying to avoid the feeling of like a mechanical object being like, I got this from here. It is wild. Like I guess I hadn't even really thought about the fact that there you could watch anything on like when you had the Netflix DVD service, you could watch anything you wanted. Like there wasn't like a, oh, does Netflix have this or does like where do I look for this? It was just assumed basically that they were going to have almost anything that you wanted. But we've like slowly had that taken away from us. And now it's just like, you know, I feel like now every time I Google something, they're like, Uber has this. If you want to like start your free trial for Uber and like get some ads from the Czech Republic in the middle of like this Michael Mann film that you want to watch. Like
is Uber an actual one of them or did
no,
you just...
I think it's a I think there's like Voodoo
Tubi Vrbo or is that
Lorston.
No, I think Vrbo is a vacation rental company.
Yeah, Vrbo's but it's but
see this is the problem
Bebo.
with once upon a time you had cable channels that the word meant what it was. Like this is classic movies, Turner Classic Movies. Like boom, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what's
the History Channel? Aliens.
Right. Yeah. Nope. It's free V. That's as close as we get to like it having a meaning. And that doesn't even really make sense. And even then, I don't know which part is free. Is it that it's ad free or it has ads and therefore the content is free?
Yeah. I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
You can't find that out.
Jason, if you're interested, the way you get around that is by having a Plex server. Are you familiar with that?
I have seen people on Twitter, every time I bring this up, tell me, yeah, you can get a Plex server and then you can put all of your physical media on there. And then it just looks, the interface, I guess, looks just like a streaming service, right? Like you can just take your movies.
My dad has like 80,000 movies on his that will never go away, just so you know.
Yeah. See, if I had any sense, I would have kept my old DVD library because I used to have a bunch. Like everybody, you know, in the 2000s, I had shelves of DVDs. I had entire shows on there that I loved. That now I, you know, but again, I gave all that stuff away because it's like, nah, I'm not a boomer.
Yeah.
I'm a modern man. What, you know, I'm not doing things the old way.
He also has a group of people who send him movies, like they upload them themselves. They have a physical copy and they just give it.
And the quality is higher. Like people don't realize that like Netflix doesn't broadcast in Blu-ray quality. It's even what they're calling 4K, they're not streaming. It's not the way it is off of a physical disc.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And with like the internet provider, good luck. Like even if it is a high quality stream, like good luck getting that without it stopping every like half hour.
Yeah. That'd be like a 25 gigabyte file. They're not going to stream that in real time. Yeah. It doesn't.
No.
Yeah.
I personally like the image quality of my movies to look like they've been water damaged in some way. So that's actually what I'm looking for. But I can see how people who want high fidelity could
I like
be
annoyed
by that.
I like it when it freezes and another actor's face emerges from the face of the frozen actor. That's right. Always a cool effect.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk placebos. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And so as we started talking about the placebo effect again, you know, there was, I think, Jason, I saw you tweet about the congestion medication, and I saw somebody else tweet about how, like, a lot of the studies that assumed the placebo effect was real were just ignoring reversion to the mean. Like you talked about, like, it, you know, you will your body will naturally get better on its own. And so when people are responding well to a sugar pill, it might just be that they are responding well, period, because the human body is good at healing itself. But so the thing I've been thinking a lot about, like, sort of this bridge between body and mind in, like, the past few years with regards to the Havana syndrome, because I think I was thinking a lot about the stuff we had covered before with placebo effect when I was, like, kind of going through trying to understand what had happened and, like, how these people were having the experience that they were having, which was that they felt like they were physically being attacked by, like, a sound wave ray that left them debilitated.
Yeah, I remember this. I remember being very skeptical on the onset of the story because I couldn't think of a ray that would cause such a thing, that would have no physical signs. But it's not like they were just kind of making it up for fun. Like, they seemed very much actually suffering, which was why I think it caused so much consternation, because it wasn't just like a prank. These were like, you know,
those seem to be the two, like, that. I think that is just generally where the two ideas that take hold when you hear, like, okay, this sci-fi technology that scientists say, like, couldn't really exist is attacking these people. You either go with, like, okay, everything is what it seems, there is this sci-fi sound ray weapon that is attacking people, or these people are making it up. And I think, like, that's why I was thinking about placebos a lot, is because it had created this, like, third option where, like, the meaning of the story that you're telling yourself is actually creating a physical reality, like an illness that inside your body that, like, is as real as, like, the cold or the flu. That, by the way, a fun thing to do is to be researching a episode on the placebo effect and, like, the mind body connection, and also coming down with a cold, which I have been for the past 48 hours. Highly recommend. It's a real mind fuck.
I'm actually just coming out of a cold, so nice. Maybe I placeboed that like an inception onto you.
Yeah. But I think the best description of like what I ultimately thought was going on and what I suspected before I read this was going on is still this like New York Times piece from 2019. So it wasn't like people had it wrong for a long time and then only recently somebody got it right. Like this article was written, explained what it was, and then people continued on being like, so what are we going to do about this Havana Syndrome story? Yeah. But I just want to read this. So they basically say it's a functional disorder. It's this meaning-based experience that people are having where they actually feel the symptoms. The symptoms are real. It's just, it is happening neurologically. It is not happening because they have been physically attacked. And so in the article, they say, for all their mystery, functional disorders are not diagnosed simply after eliminating every possible normal disorder that might be causing a patient's symptoms. Rather, neurologists look for signs and symptoms that are inconsistent, varying even during the course of an examination, and incongruent with what they expect to see in known objective disorders caused by a physical injury or illness. One of the most remarkable aspects of the diplomats' illnesses, the people who are suffering from Havana Syndrome, is that even if all of them experienced an actual blow to the head shortly before their symptoms appeared, which none of them did, most should have fully recovered in a matter of days, weeks, or months, as is standard following a minor head injury. Instead, many of them experienced symptoms that remained steady or worsened over a period of months, and some continue to suffer chronic, perhaps lifelong symptoms. So basically, if they'd gotten hit in the head with a bag of rocks or like a sonic weapon, as they claimed, they would have healed along a predictable timeline because the body is really good at healing itself because it's a machine that is like designed to do that like over millions of years. And unless the problem is in the mind, in which case it gets complicated and it can linger longer than that. But,
I mean, someone might respond that the Cuban death ray just like put some kind of undetectable cancer inside their brain or some right. sort of like thing that is a chronic condition. But but they didn't find anything in MRI scans that would suggest any kind of like structural abnormality in the brain, right?
They did find like an increase in gray matter. Like this story also like made me. You know, I've seen this elsewhere where it's like brain scans you can get a lot of different interpretations out of brain scans.
Oh, absolutely.
There was a big story after this one came out that was like, they say there's increased gray matter. So they were attacked. And everyone I saw was like, that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Well, right. Because the brain, like also like if it's increased activity in parts of the brain that you're detecting, that is... because your brain is your mind. And if you are having a psychological issue, that will actually affect your brain's functioning. So it's like your brain and mind is an organ. So it's a weird thing to think about. But even though our mind feels very like non-physical, very esoteric, it is a physical organ. So if your mind has some issue, right? Like you have some kind of psychological issue. That is an issue with the organ that is your brain.
Right.
So you will see things on scans potentially. Like if you say you have depression or some other sort of psychological issue, like you would actually see evidence of that potentially. Not always, but potentially you'd see like the functioning of the brain being different in scans.
I think right. that gets to the heart of the issue, because we have many, many, many things in society that function the way Havana Syndrome does. You have people who claim that they are allergic to Wi-Fi or
right.
the 5G, and they can show where they break out in hives, or they have nervous disorder, they have tremors in their hands or headaches or whatever. And again, we our habit to say, well, it's just all in their head. It's hard to overstate that, like you said, they're not faking for attention. The same as people during witch hunts swore that the local witch cursed them. And ever since the witch gave them a dirty look, they've had, I can't think straight, I can't sleep, I da 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 da. And it's like, their symptoms are real. Witchcraft is not. And I think the Western idea of the mind being a mystical thing that exists separate from the body, like in our body switching movies where you're somehow two people's minds switched, but you're in somebody else's body. It's like, well, if you went into someone else's brain.
The Freaky Friday philosophy, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you went into somebody else's brain, you would just be them. You wouldn't perceive any switch had happened because it's all there. Like, it's just an organ. So I think that actually screws up the way we think of a lot of health conditions. Because if you say, well, it's just all in your head, it's like, what are you saying? There's magic occurring that somehow my mind can magically make me break out in hives? It's like, well, no, your brain's just another organ. Your body releasing whatever chemicals or hormones or whatever that cause you to break out or change color or become inflamed, it's all just a mechanism. It's gears. It's like, are you saying my mere thoughts can cause my body to do something weird? It's like, well, yeah, I have irritable bowel syndrome that we treat with an anti-anxiety medication. There's mm-hmm. no, it's like, oh, so you tricked yourself into pooping your pants? It's like, no, your gut produces serotonin too. It's all part of that mechanism. Yeah. You regulate serotonin. You're also going to regulate your digestion. There's a reason you feel anxiety in your gut. It's not magic. It's all just nerves. And my body, when I am under a certain amount of stress, my body takes blood flow away from the digestion process, and it doesn't digest very well. That's it. But trying to fix it is extremely difficult. And science, anyone who's ever gone to their doctor for something like this, some sort of physical condition caused by, they think, anxiety or stress or whatever, it is a frustrating process because they do seem to just be throwing pills at you, and they do seem to be trying placebos, because you will run into people who say, well, I found this cinnamon tea that is just, it cures my IBS like nothing else. The thing is, it probably does. And it's not magic. Yeah. It's not, you know, and same thing. This is terrible, treacherous territory, but somebody prayed for me and that cured my IBS. Mm-hmm. I personally, my belief is it's the same thing.
Yeah.
That the belief that you did, you took action and you did something, cured it. It's not magic. And I, if you stop thinking of the mind as magical, this stuff makes much, much more sense.
Yeah, I mean, that the brain-gut connection is incredibly strong. Like, you have neural-type cells actually, like, in your gut, and that sort of the relay between your gut and your brain is very, very strong. It's like why when you get nauseous for some reason, you might feel anxious, and then vice versa. So it's like maybe you have nausea for some reason, like you have food poisoning, right? And it starts in your gut. You're going to feel anxious from the nausea. It's going to cause this very strong reaction in your brain of like, oh my God, what is wrong? Like when I got food poisoning, I had a huge panic attack because I thought I was dying. And it was just because I had really bad nausea. And then vice versa, when you're anxious, you can have very severe gut problems. And it's not like, it's like you have the physical evidence, right? Like it's not that diarrhea is imaginary. It's real diarrhea. But it is your brain is actually causing your gut not to function properly, and then you get diarrhea. So it's like it is an organ. Your brain, the organ, is causing dysfunction in your gut, which it has a very strong connection with. And then, you know, voila, diarrhea.
Yeah. And some diarrhea is imaginary, but that's like just based in my mind. And we've talked about how I should stop talking about that on the show. This sort of materialist idea that like a medication is something that causes.
Jason, if you're interested, the way you get around that is by having a Plex server. Are you familiar with that?
I have seen people on Twitter every time I bring this up tell me, yeah, you can get a Plex server and then you can put all of your physical media on there, and then it just looks, the interface, I guess, looks just like a streaming service, right? Like you can just take your movies.
My dad has like 80,000 movies on his that will never go away, just so you know.
Yeah. See, if I had any sense, I would have kept my old DVD library, because I used to have a bunch. Like everybody, you know, in the 2000s, I had shelves of DVDs. I had entire shows on there that I love that now I, you know, but again, I gave all that stuff away because it's like, nah, I'm not a boomer.
Yeah.
I'm a modern man. What, you know, I'm not doing things the old way.
He also has a group of people who send him movies, like they upload them themselves. They have a physical copy and they just give it him duplicates of it.
And the quality is higher. Like people don't realize that, like, Netflix doesn't broadcast in Blu-ray quality. It's even what they're calling 4K, they're not streaming. It's not the way it is off of a physical disc.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and with like the internet provider, good luck. Like, even if it is a high quality stream, like, good luck getting that without it stopping every like half hour.
Yeah, that'd be like a 25 gigabyte file. They're not going to stream that in real time. Yeah. It doesn't.
No.
Yeah.
I personally like the image quality of my movies to look like they've been water damaged in some way. So that's actually what I'm looking for. But I can see how people who want high fidelity could
I like
be
annoyed
by that.
I like it when it freezes and another actor's face emerges from the face of the frozen actor. That's right. Always a cool effect.
Yeah. A chemical to go into your body, and that chemical interacts with the chemicals that are already there to make you better, or make you like feel different in psychoactive drugs. Like that's how I came to think about, like, when I thought about medicine or like the medical world, like, that's totally what I thought of. And I think that is somewhat unique to our modern condition. Like, what one of the articles that I read for this was talking about how Ben Franklin was like really fascinated by the subject of placebos. And he said, like, one of the best doctors he knew told him that he like handed out bread pills and like food colored water much more than real medicine, but like not to like prank people. Like we said, it was because he was a good doctor and was able, like, knew that there was a healing component to the belief that people held, and that the meaning that getting a medicine from a doctor who actually, you know, has a career's worth of bedside manner and like confidence and reassurance like built up, and like has a gift for this sort of specific interpersonal human connection, like that, all of that working together with a bread pill that allows you to like focus all of that meaning into something and like take it inside your body, like that works. But I feel like in the modern world, if a doctor went on a show and was like, yeah, I'm giving all these people bread pills and it's curing them, like, they would be, you know, people would demand their medical license be taken away.
Being bread pilled sounds like some kind of weird internet ideology. Like, you can be red pilled, but you can be bread pilled, where you're like, bread is better than dating people.
It kind of is in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I mean, God, bread is so good. I mean, it's interesting because, like, we're talking both about the placebo effect, which is like the bread pill, and then the Cuban brain wave is a nocebo. So, like, nocebo is specifically an effect where it's actually negative. So, like, so when a treatment that should have no effect actually has a negative effect, or an imagined treatment or something has an effect on someone. So like there's actually been research on the nocebo effect in terms of like when people take, say, a sugar pill or a dummy pill, when they're testing medications, like if they're told it has a specific side effect, there's a good chance they're going to actually feel that side effect. Somewhat recently with like testing the COVID vaccine, there was like a review of the literature that found that like the nocebo effect of the sham COVID vaccine. So this was just essentially saline in a vaccine, like over 70% of these participants, like the negative reaction to the vaccine was accounted for by the nocebo effect for the sham vaccine. So a bunch of people were like, oh yeah, I have my arms sore, or like I feel bad. And it was after they got a completely fake, inert COVID vaccine.
Yeah, and we've seen very dramatic videos of people showing off their horrifying symptoms from what they thought is the vaccine. And we've seen social contagion of like people with eye twitches, like even before there was the vaccine conspiracy theory, of like young people on TikTok like having weird twitchy reactions and like claiming, you know, not really knowing where it was from, not as part of like some QAnon conspiracy, but just their like social contagion is real. And
yeah,
there's a long history of it. All right, let's take another quick break and we'll come back and finish this out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And just a few things I wanted to hit. So, like, there is this one experiment where they figured out people who were particularly susceptible to placebos. And they then, like, during the course of a experiment, gave them a thing that like blocked the opioid receptors in the brain, and the placebo effect cut off, which means
that's so cool. I mean, that's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's basically, it makes sense when you think about the fact that like the brain is like its own pharmacy. It's creating the dopamine, you know, the like ADD medication and stuff like that, or, you know, there are illegal drugs that cause your brain to like make more dopamine that like make you feel even better. But your brain is creating its own dopamine on its own schedule.
My brain is my favorite dealer.
Yeah, your brain is its own like drug dealer / pharmacist. And, you know, that then doctors get involved when like it's not doing the job that it needs to do. But, you know, that what is happening in like this study would suggest that what's happening when people experience the placebo effect is that your brain is producing the actual chemical that the medication is supposed to be producing. It just didn't need the medication to actually be in the pill to get you to get the brain to do the thing that your body kind of knows it needs in that moment. So, I mean, from that perspective, like being susceptible to placebo is such an amazing like superpower, where it's just like, oh yeah, my body and brain can just like make these medications for me.
Right. And it's not, I think it's important to note, it's not like gullibility. It being able to get the effect of a placebo is not that like you are stupid or gullible. There is like a study on seeing like, oh, are people who are easily hypnotized also like susceptible to placebo? And there was no connection there either. It just seems to be a thing that like affects almost everyone in terms of being able to, you know, benefit or suffer from the placebo or nocebo effect.
Yeah.
We understand so little of this because listening to what you guys say, think about how difficult it is to study this and how difficult it is to set up an effective trial that perfectly filters out every possibly confounding thing that could be some form of placebo or nocebo effect. This is why our mental health medications have barely improved in the last 50 years or something like that. It is unbelievably difficult to nail down the effectiveness of something like an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety because, again, placebos work really well for anxiety. When you have somebody telling you, well, my anti-anxiety pills, I go work in my garden. They're not lying. Repetitive motion, exercise, sunlight, those are physical things that affect all of those biological reactions to anxiety. They're not being a hippie. And, you know, you sound like a Scientologist who start ranting about how ineffective these medications are. But the truth is, you get about 75% of the same effect from a placebo for mild depression. Because, of course you do. You know, if you've got some whatever fancy tea that's supposed to really, you know, to calm you down, just the ceremony of making it
and give you a boner.
The ceremony of making it, sitting down, drinking something hot, drinking it slowly. That can have most of the effect of a medication without the terrible side effects. The issue is that is such an incredibly dangerous thing for people to hear because some people who have very severe symptoms who definitely need prescription medication, they tend to be the ones who's like, see, I don't need that voodoo. It is incredibly difficult to nail down the effectiveness of any of these because, as you just said, we even now have doubts about exactly what's placebo and what's just no treatment at all. Depression is just like a lot of those things we mentioned earlier. It gets better. And think about all the factors in a person's life that can improve their mood.
Yeah.
It's like, absolutely. three months on these sugar pills and my depression went away. Also, I got a different job and the boss that terrorized me is no longer in my life. And also my chronic knee injury stopped hurting. So I didn't have the chronic pain weighing on me. It's like, which of the 4 million factors in a human life caused your depression to go away? And us people who, to sound smart, who like to say, well, it's all just brain chemicals. It's all just serotonin or whatever. That is boiling it down. That's simplifying it so much as to make it wrong.
Right.
I mean, it's like, it's true that it's like all brain stuff, but your brain responds very well to your environment. So environmental things are going to have a massive effect on your brain. Like, you know, your general habits, what your life is like, what you're eating, what you're doing, what you're thinking, all these things just kind of like form this like cyclone that can really affect your state of mind. It's also really difficult with the studies on medication for like, say, depression, anxiety, etc., because everyone's brain is very different. So the heterogeneity effects in these studies are just very hard to compensate for. Like a medication that works really well for someone may not work at all for another person, even though they both have depression, because one person's depression and another person's depression, it's not like a, you know, simple like disease. It's not like a broken bone where it's like, okay, you can kind of like the procedure for healing a broken bone for one person, another person is generally somewhat similar. But for something like depression, it's like you have a totally different thing going on from one person to the next, given how complicated the brain is and how like broad spectrum something like depression is in terms of what's causing it, what's going on. And I mean, the same can be said for a lot of like non-psychological disorders as well. Like there are a lot of diseases where it's like, well, treatment for one person seems to work, but for another person does not work at all because their bodies are different and their systems are different. So it's like a huge challenge in medicine.
Even if they were genetically the same, which they're not, are their diets different? Are right. their sleep patterns different? Is their home life different? Is their social lives different? Do they have different numbers of friends? All those things can impact how your brain works.
Exactly. I mean, your brain structure changes over time based on your environment. It's not like you're born sort of with a baby brain and then it goes like it's genetically programmed to turn into an adult brain. Like you're born with the very plastic brain that responds incredibly sensitively to your environment and what happens to you.
Yeah. The two examples that jumped out to me this time doing the research, like on the side of like just a straightforward placebo effect, like this is a pill causing your body to do a thing. It's still like the pill color thing is still like so mind-blowing to me. Like they gave a group of medical students two new drugs, one a sedative and the other a stimulant. And like they were given either one or two blue or pink tablets, and the tablets were all inert. They were sugar pills, but the students' responses on a questionnaire indicated the red tablets or pink tablets tended to act as stimulants while the blue ones acted as depressants. And two tablets had more effect than one. And it doesn't really make sense, but like you can't boil it down to anything that is like happening other than with like meaning. Like pink or red means like hot or danger, and blue means like cool and quiet. And
right, blue means Cool Ranch Doritos, red cool, means flaming hot
nacho
Cheetos.
Cheese. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's why I wake up in the morning, I eat nacho cheese, and to go to bed at night, I eat Cool Ranch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I can give you an example even without an experiment. I know people who will drink an espresso or drink an energy drink, and while they're drinking it, we'll talk about how wired they are. Like, oh my gosh, it's hitting me. Well, it takes 45 minutes for caffeine to enter the bloodstream.
Yeah.
That's you drinking the Red Bull, and after two gulps is like, oh my gosh, I can feel it hitting me. It's like, well, it's like you didn't inject it into your vein. You drank it. It has to be absorbed into your system, but that's placebo effect, you know, and if you felt it that soon, you just told yourself it. So think about, did you need the energy drink at all? If you can talk yourself into bouncing off the walls because you thought that, oh my gosh, the whole 80 whole milligrams of caffeine has slammed into my system, which by the way, is not very much. But I personally believe making the can big and with a big, loud, stupid name like C4 Bombsicle, and it's got like a stick of dynamite on it, I think that helps the placebo effect. I think you drink a big bombastic can of something, it's like, man, this is going to hit me like a freight train. I think it could be decaf, and I think it would hit you mostly the same way.
Yeah.
I want an energy drink that's just called brain boner juice.
Your brain is going to fuck so hard. And then the other example that's kind of in the other direction was they looked at the cause of death between Chinese Americans and randomly selected group of white people in California. And it was found that Chinese Americans, but not the white people, will die significantly earlier than normal if they have a combination of disease and birth year, which Chinese astrology and medicine consider ill-fated. Mm. And so it's, you know, Chinese Americans whose deaths were attributed to lymphatic cancer and if they were born in earth years and consequently were deemed by Chinese medicine like especially susceptible to diseases involving lumps, not nodules or tumors, had an average death age like 4 years younger than people who were not born in one of those years. And no such, you know, difference existed among the group of white people. So it's just, and that was true across, like, I don't know the ins and outs of what Chinese medicine believes and like what the different year meanings are, but like it feels like very strongly determined by like meaning and like the stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves and that like we like exist within. And so I don't know. I find that one like kind of hopeful in a way, because like you can, I don't know, like tell yourself stories and like sort of free yourself from some of the stories that we tell ourselves that it can be damaging about ourselves. Like what, there was also a study where they told people the truth. They were like, this is a placebo effect study. And like the truth is that like placebo effects have been shown to like help people, and like that it had clear like positive results just by being honest, which I always thought like an important part of the placebo effect would be the lying, but yeah. Apparently not, which doesn't really make sense to me. But
like rituals, I think, can really have a strong effect. Like you put the pill in your mouth and you swallow the water, and even if you know it's a placebo, you've still done the ritual in your body. You may still have sort of this like connection to the ritual and feeling better. So it's, you know, it's like if you've ever found like a calming routine, like some kind of meditation routine or calming routine that you do, like once you sort of get into the typical position that you're in, that it's like, well, I start listening to music, I sit on the couch or something. Once you practice it and do it a bunch, it works better. Like meditation or calming yourself down, like works better once you've practiced it, because once you start to do it, you make the association between like, well, when I light this candle or listen to this music, I start to feel calm. And then it's like, even though you know it's not like medicine,
yeah,
you've come to associate the ritual with feeling better. But yeah, with the that study on like the zodiac, or wait, is it zodiac?
Yeah, the Chinese medicine, like zodiac. Right.
It makes me think about when someone has a disease and they're given a time frame for like how much longer they have to live. I've always had mixed feelings about that, because on one hand, I think it's good, right, to like prepare people for like, hey, you know, you have terminal cancer, so you might want to like prepare and get your affairs in order and all this. But having a time frame, in a way, also seems like you are kind of potentially negating any kind of like placebo effect of like, well, if I can, like, you know, like maybe this thing will kill me eventually, but then if you feel like, well, I'm definitely going to die in like a year or X months, I wonder if that has an effect on like how long you actually have. It's not to say that the diagnosis is incorrect or that something like terminal cancer you can just think your way out of, but there is something on the margins in terms of like how healthy you are and continue to be based on your mind frame, right? So it's like, I don't think you could beat a terminal diagnosis through some kind of placebo effect, but I No. could imagine your quality of life and your length of time left could be affected by whether you feel completely doomed or not within a certain period of time.
Right.
I think you stumbled on a big, big thing in our society, which is, for example, to me, it is not surprising at all that yoga cures all sorts of things. You're stretching, you've got a room that's either silent or with white noise or with music. It's something you often do in a group or a bunch of people all doing something in sync. You know, we humans are social animals. That has its own benefit. It does not surprise me that that helps cure all sorts of things. None of us stretch enough. And it's also, it's exertion, you know, it's very strenuous. If you've never done yoga before, it will kick your ass. It's not just stretching, like it's holding difficult positions. But part of yoga is that there's a religion around it, basically. And it's all of this stuff that I know is unscientific about, well, this stretch will release any financial stress in your life, because financial anxiety tends to store in your hips.
Yeah.
Right? Or you've got to realign your chakra. You've got to, the mystical spiritual energies and the body thetans have to be released through your spine. So the question is, does the mythology make it work better? And once you apply it, think about yoga, you think about all of the other things in society where we tell people a story to get them to behave a certain way. And the story is not true, but it is effective at healing them or making them healthier. And what are the ethics of that? Because, for example, it is my understanding that studies has consistently found that placebos work better when they are expensive.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to feel like you wasted your money. So the ethics of selling somebody a powder of ground up shark bones or something, and this is going to cure your anxiety. And it's like, well, actually, people don't just buy it once. They buy it for years because they swear by it.
It works, yeah.
I would like to accuse those people of being thieves, but are they?
Right.
We should start like making it not like shark bones and stuff, because sharks are endangered in some cases and it's bad. But like animals that we hate, we should make up stories about their bones and blood and stuff being good. Like, hey, ground up mosquitoes are an aphrodisiac, because like, who cares? They kill a bunch of mosquitoes, or like an invasive species, yeah, of like, you know, like, hey, the crown of thorns, starfish, you know, they're invasive. But if you grind them up, it'll give you a boner. Like, yeah. Let's start making shitty animals the ones that we turn into medicine.
Yeah. I think a lot of supplements are mostly sawdust, by the way. Like when they test what's actually in there, they're like, oh, this is.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
This is just things like, because it's not regulated, that has no, doesn't have to go through the FDA, and because it also doesn't do anything, so who cares? But if you buy St. John's Wort or ginseng or any of that stuff, you'll often find that the amount in a pill is somewhere between 10% or 400% of what it says on the label, because they're not being precise about it, because you can't overdose on it, because it's just an herb or whatever.
Yeah.
It's also just like, medicine is a relatively new science. I know we think of it as being very old, but it wasn't that long ago that we were like cutting holes in people's skulls and thinking that would like take the demons out.
It did sometimes.
And it sometimes, trepanning sometimes worked.
Yeah.
It's not to say, you know, like I don't think any of us, well, I don't want to speak for anyone, but I don't think any of us believes that like medicine is BS. Like, I think, you know, if your doctor is like, hey, you need treatment for this thing, you shouldn't be like, yeah, right, jerk. Like, there are like modern medicine is pretty incredible in terms of how it actually, like, we have actually figured out how certain proteins interlock with other proteins and that it affects your body, and that's incredible. But it's also, I think, there's this separation of like, all right, here's the real hard physical medicine, and then the mind stuff, which is just kind of like, you know, like a hippy dippy brain stuff, it's not real. And I think that's a big problem. Like, I think that a lot of things could be accomplished if we kind of didn't have this disconnect between like the body's health, the body and the brain, and this like separation of like, well, there's real medicine, and then there's like, you know, like just sort of mind over matter, you know, silly stuff. And I think combining the power of modern medical advancement and the understanding of how the brain impacts the body can help in a lot of ways, like, you know, preventing like over medicalization of things, but also treatment of things that do need medicine, but could also use like the idea that, you know, you treat just the thing that's happening in the body without addressing sort of the psychological impacts, I think is kind of limited.
I also think we have unrealistic expectations of medicine compared to where we are.
Yeah.
That we think everything should be able to have an instant diagnosis. Here's what it is. Here's the pill that fixes it. Including things that are like, well, I'm fatigued all the time. It's like, well, what else do you have going on in your life? It's like, well, I work 3 jobs and I have a baby.
Right.
It's like, I need you to give me a pill that will make my fatigue go away. Or, you know, this is, ask any therapist and they will have the patient. And it's like, I'm depressed. I need the treatment for depression. It's like, oh, when did your depression start approximately? It's like, well, when my wife died.
Right.
And then my dog died 6 months later. And then I lost my job because of my, I was so sad about my wife dying. And now I got kicked out of my apartment. And it's like, okay, your life is a disaster.
Yeah.
You want a pill that will, and I think that, you know, it's stupid to say we have too much faith in science. It is unfair to ask a pill to fix that. You have a long mountain to climb of getting things back in your, but your body is telling you, you know, man, this sucks. It's not because your brain's producing too much of a chemical. It's because your life is a disaster. It just is. Yeah. Your life is not as good as it was before.
Yeah.
So it is, part of it is, it's funny because you have part of the population who refuses to believe in science or vaccines, but then you have another part of the population that, for example, thought that the moment they invent a vaccine for a disease, that it just vanishes overnight. It's right. Like, yeah. The truth is, these are inventions by humans. They're not magic. They're miraculous in a sense compared to what we were able to do 300 years ago. But no, sometimes you're going to go to the doctor and the doctor's going to say, we don't have a way to fix this yet. And usually patients do not take that as an answer. They demand to walk out of there with a prescription. And lots of times they just gave you something to make you go away.
Right.
Because yeah. It's like, we don't know how to fix this yet. It's just, that's the situation.
I've literally like felt, oh man, I'm so fatigued. Am I sick? And then I realize it's nighttime. It's bedtime. I have to go to sleep. I'm like, right. Oh God, am I coming down with something? It's like, well, no, it's midnight and I should go to bed.
This nighttime fatigue disorder.
And I did the normal thing where I looked at my phone for 4 hours after I went to bed.
Right.
And I woke up the next morning feeling like crap. I'm coming down with something.
That's right.
Happening. All right. Well, Jason, Katie, such a pleasure having you guys on the show. Jason, where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Again, the book that is up for pre-order now is called Zoe Is Too Drunk for This Dystopia. It's part of a sci-fi series and one of the Zoe Ash novels. Just look up that title, and it will also show you the other books in the series if you want to read those. I am Jason K. Pargin on TikTok and all of the other platforms, including the stupid ones that nobody goes to. Like Threads.
You're everywhere. Amazing. Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Yes, I linked here for you. There's a muscular lumberjack on TikTok named Thor Bradley, and he just chops stumps for his videos, and they get like 150 million views. He's one of the most famous people in the world, apparently, and he's just a very muscular man who chops stumps with an axe.
Is this like an innuendo? Chopping stumps? Is this some kind of like sex thing that I don't know about?
Oh, no. Watch the video. You'll get it.
Yeah.
No, chopping literal stumps.
You'll get it immediately.
All right. He has
many female fans, and but also it's many male fans. And it's just a big, muscular, sweaty man who chops wood for his videos. And you watch him until he finally gets through, you know, chopping the wood, and you feel a little bit better. He is a hero.
Wow. It is nice. Once that stump finally chops, once he finally splits the stump. Oh man, that was my favorite part.
There are entire movies that I've watched that cost $200 million to film that did not provide me as much satisfaction as watching Thor chop his way through that stump.
That's It makes me think about what the stump represents.
I couldn't even begin to
whatever
guess,
you
Katie.
Want, whatever obstacles in your life, if you just stay, keep at it, you can That's get right. through them. And he's showing you that.
I'm going to say it represents a sex butt.
A sex butt?
Yeah, sex butt. Some kind of sex butt thing situation.
Really interesting take. Really interesting read. Katie, where can people find you? Is there work in media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I mean, I have a podcast on this very network called Creature Feature, where we talk about aminals. I've actually had Jason on my show, too. So, we have good discussions about animal behavior and sometimes how it relates to human psychology. I just started a TikTok. It is Katie Golden, KATIEGOLDIN. I'm doing some animal content on there, a game I play where I have you guess what animal noise an animal is making. It is, I'm brand new. I have like no followers. So if you check that out, I'd be very grateful. And I think I'm Katie Golden on other stuff too, but you know, like on the Musk site, which, you know, is becoming less and less usable every day. The media that I like is from the Musk site. It is from Twitter user P.E. Moskowitz, who writes, "For sale baby shoes never worn is the saddest story ever told in six words. Here's a sadder one in four. Baby died from exploding."
That's pretty good. That story is actually kind of awesome, though, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You can find me on the Musk site, Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien, and on Threads at @Jack_O_Brien. Although I haven't checked that in maybe a month. Tweet, I've been enjoying. I like P-Puck, just tweeted a collection of cute designs from the distant past. And it's just like really cute. Like one of them looks like a sad character from Bluey, but it's from 4th century BC. Like it's just adorable stuff. I don't know. So sometimes I, you know, like for the thinking about history, like doctors in history just being like, yeah, here's a blue pill that I just dyed and like it makes you better. Like I tend to think of people from history being like stoic people who try to walk off a compound fracture and had no joy in their life. And this collection of cute designs from the past made me smile, warmed my heart a little bit. And then I also enjoyed a tweet from the writer at Jason K. Pargin, who responded to a CNN tweet saying Bob Barker, the beloved television fixture who hosted The Price is Right for decades, has died. He was 99. And Jason wrote, "The rumors that he was going 160 miles per hour at the time of his fatal motorcycle accident are not confirmed, and people should not be spreading them. Same with the rumors that he was swinging a flail at other drivers. Wait for confirmation." I enjoyed that. Well done, Jason. All right. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin, welcome back. Is there a song that you think people might enjoy?
Yeah, so there's this new artist who just popped up on my radar a couple weeks back. She's an amazingly talented singer-songwriter with a very powerful voice and a real knack for writing songs that just get stuck in my head all day. I played this track for Miles, actually, the other day, and he was commenting on how she kept finding interesting little paths in the melody where she didn't repeat herself too much, and I just really respect someone who can bring that kind of talent to the table. So this artist goes by the name of Annie Tracy, and this track by far and away is my favorite that I've heard from her so far, but all of her tracks are incredible. This one is called Times It By Two, and it's got a really nice R&B vibe. It builds to something very powerful, and I love the message behind it. So this song is called Times It By Two by Annie Tracy, and you can find that song in the footnotes.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye. Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.